Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Across the UK, online and on DAB Digital Radio, Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2. All the action, excitement and drama from across the entire women's game, including the Women's Super League.
Clean off the line by Steph Horton.
The UEFA Women's Champions League and the Euro 2021 qualifiers.
Lana Clellan striking from outside the penalty area.
World-beating big match conversation on the station that's raising the game for women's football.
And she scores!
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers on TalkSport 2.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Women's Football Weekly. And what a bonkers week it's been as West Ham and Spurs sack their managers on the same day.
West Ham United women have, by mutual consent, parted company with head coach Matt Beard.
Tottenham women have sacked head coach Karen Hills along with co-head coach Juan Amoros.
Spurs waste no time, though, in appointing former England assistant coach Rhianne Skinner. We sit down for a chat with the WSL's all-time top goalscorer, Vivienne Miedemar.
It's something special, and I'm pretty sure that once I stop playing football, I'll reflect back on it and be like, wow, it was amazing, and it's pretty good what we and I achieved.
And we assess the Championship season so far and shine the spotlight on Leicester City captain Holly Morgan.
And I'll never forget that game because it was just... It was a long season, and for us to be able to come out with that achievement of winning all of our games in the way that we did, I won't forget that.
All that, plus we'll chat about the rest of the goings-on in the world of women's football. This is Women's Football Weekly, National Radio's only dedicated women's football show.
Women's Football Weekly with Faye Carruthers.
Hi, I'm Gemma Davison from Tottenham Hotspur, and you're listening to the Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2.
To you all. Now then, it wouldn't be Women's Football Weekly if I didn't have two fantastic guests for you to talk you through all the goings-on in women's football. It's a very good evening to Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, Sheffield United forward. How are you doing, Courtney?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, thank you. I'm sorry we're socially distanced and I can't see you opposite me, but, you know, I know you're here in spirit and I'll just have to listen to your lovely dulcet tones instead. Molly Hudson from The Times, how are you doing?
Evening, Faye. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. Very good, thank you. Thought it was going to be a nice quiet week for us this week on Women's Football Weekly, but no. Women's football does not stop. So we're going to start with the shock sacking news from this week. We don't get manager sackings in women's football very often, do we? But on Thursday, both West Ham and Spurs parted ways with three stalwarts of the women's game.
Whipped over. Flicked in for an own goal. Tottenham take the lead. Daly. Surely this is the last chance. In from Rachel Daly. The staff have got something on it. Oh, and what an opportunity to win it right at the end for Ruby Grant.
Been the story of our season so far. You know, we had a period in that second half, especially coming out where we dominated the game and we've had two or three good chances. Not taking them, or we've made the wrong decision. And it's cost us today.
It's getting even worse this for West Ham because their captain, Gilly Flaherty, in amongst all of that, has been sent off by the referee, Abigail Byrne. She was booked earlier in the game. It's a second yellow card for Gilly Flaherty. That finishes here. West Ham 1, Arsenal 9.
The game's going to be won on who takes their chances and who doesn't. And unfortunately for me, we've had numerous in the first half, a few in the second half, and we've been punished.
Miedemar, left meets in space and it's been played to her perfectly. Will she square it? She does Fort! And it goes in. Now Caitlin Fort has another one and it finishes at Meadow Park. Arsenal 6, Tottenham 1.
to apologise to our fans for that first half. I think we really worked hard during the week. You know, I think that we work in a lot of things that we needed to be better, and I think that goal really hurt us at the beginning of the game. And after that, we couldn't find our feet, and we showed no passion and no desire in that first half. And the second half we did, and we did so much better. And you know, it was actually good, but it's too late. It's too late after we've gone down at halftime 5-3. That's not acceptable for us as a club, for us as a team. And we will look at ourselves and put it right, because we believe in this group of players and in what we're doing. So.
West Ham manager Matt Beard and former co-head coach of Tottenham Hotspur Juan Amoros there. Both of these clubs have suffered at the hands of Arsenal, 9-1 for West Ham and 6-1 to Spurs. Thank you to Spurs TV as well for some of that. We're going to start chronologically though. West Ham manager Matt Beard, fresh from his side's 4-0 League Cup win over Charlton, left the club on Thursday by mutual consent. The former Chelsea and Liverpool manager had been with the club for 2.5 years, famously led them to the final of the Women's FA Cup last season, but three straight WSL defeats leaves West Ham in ninth, and they have parted ways. How much of a surprise was this, Courtney?
Yeah, a big one actually for me. I think it was, you know, by mutual consent as well. I think Matt did have quite a big say in that one. It wasn't dressed up as sometimes it is, as a mutual consent, and they get rid of the managers. But yeah, it's strange. They've brought a lot of players in over the years. Obviously, they've invested a lot of money. So, you know, when you look at it that way, you should be expecting big things from West Ham. And, you know, like I say, 2.5 years now, Matt's been on board. So maybe starting to push into that top six, that top five. And they've just not done that. So, yeah, like Matt said, I think they maybe do need a bit of a fresh challenge. And that's him himself. And also the club maybe need a bit of fresh blood as a manager to push to that next stage, really.
Yeah. What went wrong for him, Molly?
I think it's difficult. I think even when you look back at the previous seasons, you mentioned there they had that run to the FA Cup final, and there have been moments where West Ham have played really, really well. You know, they've looked a great team and individual players have done really well, but I think it's kind of inconsistencies where they seem to have fallen down. And I think that's ultimately what has kind of caught up with them this season, because this season they haven't been able to get the wins at all, almost. And they only had one win in the Women's Super League. So I think throughout Matt's tenure, I think he's admitted a bit of frustration with that inconsistency, even last season. But it just seems to, you know, be the right time for both parties, for Matt and for West Ham, to kind of go in a different direction.
Yeah, you mentioned there, Courtney, as well, that there didn't seem to be any animosity, and Matt Beard had kind of, you know, come to this decision himself, and his statement kind of alluded to that as well. He said he wanted to make a special mention of how brilliant the club's been with him, the team, and his staff during the pandemic, particularly during that first lockdown as well. He said, West Ham truly looked after each of us as individuals on a professional and personal level, and I'll be forever grateful for that. So what next for Matt Beard then?
I'm not sure. I think he'll probably take a bit of time to compose himself and spend some time with the family. I saw that video he posted on Twitter thanking everyone and said he was going to spend some time with his family, which I'm not surprised about, because obviously, you know, football management is a very sort of 24/7 job. And I think even when managers are at home, that they're always thinking about the game. So I think he'll take some time, and I don't think he'll be short of offers, to be honest. It wouldn't surprise me if he went back out to the US. From what I know, he enjoyed his time out there. So that's an option. But I think, you know, regardless of what's happened with West Ham, there have been a lot of highs in there. And as you say, that FA Cup final got there. So I don't feel like he'll be short of offers.
No, I'm sure he won't. And he certainly isn't short of an offer here on Women's Football Weekly. I've already been in touch with him to get him on very soon. So I'm sure you'll hear from the man himself here on Talk Sport 2 within the next few weeks. What next for West Ham though, Molly? Because, you know, they're going to need an experienced coach to guide them through this next period.
Yeah, I think so. I think you look at that kind of bottom half of the Women's Super League, it is quite tight down there. And I think at least with someone like Matt, you know, it's an experienced pair of hands. So it's really important that West Ham get this next decision right. And, you know, I think if you look at any manager in the Women's Super League at the start of this season, it's hard to look past Carla Ward in the fact that, you know, how impressive she's been at Birmingham City, how well they've done on such a small budget. And, you know, I understand that West Ham would certainly be interested in bringing her to the club, but obviously, you know, it depends on the financial situation at Birmingham more than anything, whether or not Carla feels she's able to further her career as a manager and take the club further with the current budget they have. And hopefully that they've seen enough of what Carla and the team have done on the pitch this season to really support them going into the January transfer window.
You know Carla Ward well, Courtney. Would she be the right fit for West Ham?
I think she'd be a great fit, but I think, as Molly said, it's now as much as this is a big thing for West Ham, it's now a massive decision for Birmingham. And I agree, I think they've got a backer in this January window, and it will definitely be a turning point for them to see how, you know, the women's club is viewed within the club, because now she's done such a fantastic job. Effectively, Birmingham are safe for all intents and purposes, I think, for me. So, you know, if they back her in January, she can sort of future plan the second half of the season then to next season. And, you know, if they don't do that, then I think she's got to go in and I wouldn't say take a chance, but she's definitely more than good enough to be able to do it at that level. I think, you know, there will be increased pressure with a bigger budget, but I think she's the sort of person that will definitely be able to take that on and bring the team together, because that's what she's done at Birmingham. She's brought everyone together and dug them out of a hole, and that's what West Ham need at the moment as well.
Yeah, it certainly is. Spurs also need themselves dug out of a hole, because later on that Thursday afternoon, which I know, Molly Hudson, you had off, I think. You can't take a day off. Look what happens when that happens. We heard the news that Tottenham had sacked their joint head coaches, Karen Hills and Juan Amoros, who took them from amateur to professional, got them promoted from the Championship two seasons ago, and had only signed new two-year deals back in September. The club said the decision hadn't been taken lightly, but was in the best interests of the team, believing that a fresh approach would offer renewed impetus as they look to continue their upward trajectory and positive growth. Their words, not mine. That same day, they then announced the arrival of former Arsenal coach Rianne Skinner, of course, very recently only just appointed assistant coach to Phil Neville with the England setup. So we'll talk about that appointment shortly, but the actual departure of these two coaches caught everybody by surprise again, didn't it, Molly?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's particularly, I think we've spoken, you know, a couple of minutes ago about this feeling like it was a little bit of a turning point for West Ham. It feels like a turning point for the women's game, that Joanne and Karen, they kind of built this club from literally nothing. They were driving minibuses and sorting out players' food and washing the kits. And then, you know, they transformed them, obviously with investment, into the Women's Super League, a professional club. And then it's almost like it's too much of a fairy tale to be real for the cold, hard reality of professional football, men or women's. And, you know, I was only speaking sort of last weekend, watching that Bristol Tottenham game and thinking, oh, does it feel as though this Tottenham side has really moved on this season? Have they managed to step it up a level? And to be honest, no, they probably haven't. They probably don't look quite as good as they did last season for whatever reason. And perhaps that is just a case of needing a refresh, needing, you know, new insight, new training methods. But it is difficult when you look at what Karen and Juan have done for the club. You know, you do feel sorry for them a little bit for the realities of management, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really difficult situation. And listen, I don't want to judge any club with the way that they do their business, but I was very surprised with the timing of immediately then announcing Rianne Skinner very shortly after that statement that was quite short, saying that these two coaches were leaving.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's one of those where the similar kind of situation with Matt at West Ham, it was probably the decision was kind of made, you know, probably the week before. So, yes, it was still very quick, but it wasn't quite as quick as we found out the news. It wasn't quite as quick as, right, you're in one day, the next one's in, you know. But I think, yeah, of course, it is difficult. It's harsh. But at the same time, when you're down there in the Women's Super League, you're near the bottom of the table, you need as much time as you possibly can, you know, for Rianne to come in and get to know the players and get right stuck in with the training.
So what is Rianne Skinner going to bring then, Courtney?
She's a fantastic coach, first and foremost, in terms of a technical and tactical information that she gives. And I've been lucky enough to be coached by her. But I think as well, she's got two sides to it in the sense that she's fantastic. She will put an arm around you, but in another sense, if you need telling, she's definitely not afraid to tell you. So yeah, I think she's a fantastic appointment, and you know, she's had assistance jobs and stuff like that. So I think it's good for her now to be at the forefront and really show what she's about. And I think it's like we were saying, it's a strange one for Spurs, but I think maybe it's a sign of where the women's game's going. And as it gets more professional, there'll be more scrutiny and more spotlight on it. And I think Spurs especially, you know, we know them as a club in the men's side that are quite cost effective and like to live by their means. So the last thing that they will want is for the women's team to drop out of the Super League. So as much as it does seem harsh and it's the fairy tale, and you know, we'd love to live on sentiment and history, and I can't take away what Karen and Juan have done, but I think they've tried to do it in the best interests of the club and keeping them in the WSL. And I must admit, I watched the Bristol Spurs game, and when I looked at the table after, I was really surprised at sort of how far down the table they were. So I think it's, you know, they've worked on worst case scenario, unfortunately for Karen and Juan, but you know, I don't think they could get a better appointment than Rianne Skinner.
Really interesting. Be very, very interesting to see how both these teams get on as well. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on Talk Sport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, alongside Sheffield United forward Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly Hudson from The Times. We, of course, everybody on the show wishes Matt Beard, Juan Amoros and Karen Hills all the best with whatever they go on to do next. Now then, she's a goal machine and she's been speaking to Talk Sport 2. You'll hear from the WSL's top scorer, Arsenal's Vivian Miedemar, next. Weekly on Talk Sport 2, the only show on national radio dedicated to women's football, with Faye Carruthers, Sheffield United forward Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly Hudson from The Times. Now, don't forget, if you do miss any of our shows or you want to listen again on our podcast, that and the show are available on the Talk Sport app, so you can download it today and go to our podcast section. Right, now then, I want to ask both of you, it's a big question, so just brace yourselves and have a good think. Since the WSL first started, which striker has impressed you most? Obviously, present company aside, Courtney, but who for you?
It's got to be Vivian Miedemar. She's I can't say enough superlatives about her, to be honest. She's absolutely fantastic. She's got a bit of everything. She could hit long-range efforts. She's a movement. It's absolutely incredible to be in the right place at the right time, I think. Now, a lot of people say about strikers, oh, it's easy to tap in, but you've got to get there. I think the best defenders sniff the danger and the best forwards sniff the goals, and she certainly does that. And I think in terms of her continued development, the way that now she's started to bring players into play as well, she can be that link player as well. So I think, don't get me wrong, there's been some fantastic strikers through the years, and you know, maybe sort of, you know, the last generation, let's say, have maybe only caught the tail end of the WSL, would have liked to had a few more years playing as the WSL as it was. But no, without a doubt, Miedemar, and I think she will continue to be fantastic and go down definitely in WS history as the best striker.
Molly Hudson, do you concur?
I think it's very hard to disagree there, just because of, you know, when I go and sit in a press box, when I go and watch these games, you can't take your eyes off her. She's just incredible. And I remember when we was watching the North London Derby earlier on this season, and it's like, well, should we go? If we do go, will she break the record? It's not whether she'll break the record. You know she's going to score. You know, that's really how good she is. And I think we talk about Harry Kane in the men's game and that, like, almost a 9 and a 10 in one, and that's exactly what Miedemar is for Arsenal. And as Courtney said, you know, she's just as good in terms of, you know, being a number 10 and linking up with her teammates, and that just makes her it just takes her to that very next level, I think.
Well, listen, I've got a treat for both of you and for everybody else listening, because she doesn't speak very often, but we were lucky enough here on Talk Sport 2 to be able to sit down and talk with the woman herself. And the Arsenal and Netherlands forward's been speaking to Bradley Hayden about breaking the all-time WSL goal-scoring record.
A fantastic achievement for yourself. I know you're still only 24, but where does this achievement rank in terms of your career so far?
To be honest, like for me, it was just one of those things that I'm happy to get out of the way and we can just keep building and keep going. I think obviously, like, although I'm still quite young, I've been at the club for a couple of years now. I've been around for more than long enough. You must get bored of me already. But yeah, it's just obviously, it's something special. And I'm pretty sure that once I stop playing football, I'll reflect back on it and be like, wow, it was amazing. And it's pretty good what we and I achieved. But right now, I'm just focused on the next game.
Have you thought about what kind of legacy you want to leave? Because you're now going to be considered an Arsenal legend and also a WSL legend as well.
No, not really, to be honest. I think, as I said, like, I think there's a lot of people busier with it than I am. I just want to be the best version of myself, and that's on and off the pitch. I'd like to be remembered as and a great player and an amazing team player. And I think that's something obviously you're working on day in, day out. And I hope that in this season and whatever happens after, I can just keep going and keep improving myself.
And scoring goals has been something you've done throughout your career prolifically, even before you came to Arsenal and for your country as well. Where did that kind of goal scoring instinct come from?
Not sure, to be honest. My dad always says it's from him, but I'm pretty sure it's not. So I think it's just something that obviously, like, I created along the way. Like, as you probably all know, I started off as a 10. I got pushed up as a 9 because we didn't really have another number 9 at national team at that moment. And I think it's something that just came in, naturally. Like, I've never really thought about it. I've never really focused on it too much. I think the type of person I am on and off the pitch is that I'm quite relaxed. I'd like to take my time and make the right decisions. And that's how I feel on the pitch. And I think because I am calm, I mostly know what to do in front of goal.
And, you know, we're talking to an Arsenal legend right now. One of your biggest fans is an Arsenal legend as well, in the shape of Ian Wright, who's always tweeting about you online and giving you lots of support. What have you made of the support he's given you and, you know, the whole support he's given the whole league as well?
I think it's obviously amazing for, like, ex or professional footballers to be interested in women's football, and I think we need that way more. I think he's the prime example of knowing that women's football is rising and that it's becoming bigger and better. And obviously, I'm pretty sure his daughters and his granddaughters are playing a big part of it. But it's amazing to have big legends on board with us. And as I said, like, even for me as a player, like, obviously I catch up with him quite a lot of times at the moment for different reasons, for Adidas, for Barclays. It's nice to have someone to speak to, and it's nice to have someone to share your frustrations with sometimes as well.
And lastly for me, how quickly can we expect you to get to 100 now then?
In another 50 games? No, I'm not going to say that, definitely not. I think, as I said, like, my main goal is to help the team, and if they need me to score goals, then I hope I can bring that for them and to them. And if not, then I'm pretty sure that I can help them in other ways. And I mean, I hope the 100 will come one day, but it's still far, far away.
I'm not sure how far away it is. Probably not as far away as she is suggesting. Very humble there, Vivian Miedema, the Arsenal and Netherlands forward, talking to TalkSport 2's Bradley Hayden. We don't get to hear from her that often, Courtney, but she speaks so well, doesn't she? And, you know, she really is going down as a proper legend of the women's game here in the UK.
Yeah, she comes across really well. And I think, like she said in that interview, she's not just about her goals, it's about her contribution to the team. And yeah, she comes across really well. And I think on the pitch as well, I love how she sort of saunters about, I would say. She's nonchalant. She's not arrogant, but she's nonchalant. And I think for a forward, you need a bit of that, a bit of self-confidence in yourself. And, you know, when you are having score goals for the team, it sometimes can be a big pressure. So to have that self-belief is really important. And as you say, I don't think, you know, that 100 goals, I don't think it'll be too far away at all.
I'm sure it won't. And just finally, Molly, I mean, whenever I watch her, particularly live, you really get her stature, and she's so graceful on the pitch. She doesn't even look like she's trying.
Definitely. And I think that's what it is, as Courtney said. She does have that nonchalance about her, but what you see is that she delivers time and time again, and particularly in thinking about the Chelsea draw the other week, and there was a lot of build-up about, well, can Miedemar actually do it in the big games? You know, is she overhyped? Does she only do it against the smaller teams? And you get to that game and you see her run for the Arsenal goal, and it just showed that extra side of her, that not only is she so good at scoring, she has a turn of pace, which people probably underestimate her for. She's got a brilliant eye for a pass, you know, pinpoint pass for Beth Mead to tap home. And, you know, Joe Montemurro, the Arsenal manager, said afterwards it was a moment of magic from Viv, and that's what it was. And she has that ability to produce those moments of magic almost, it seems, whenever she wants to. And she has that true star quality. And for anybody that is maybe new to the women's game, or, you know, a fan of the game, she is really a joy to watch.
She absolutely is. And magic Miedemar. And as Courtney Sweetman-Kirk said, not enough superlatives for her. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers alongside Molly Hudson from The Times and Sheffield United's Courtney Sweetman-Kirk. If you miss any of the show, you can catch up by downloading the TalkSport app and subscribing to our podcast. Just search TalkSport Women's Football Weekly. And coming up on the only dedicated national radio show for women's football, we're taking a closer look at the Championship.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/acast. That's 15% off at burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
On TalkSport 2, the UK's only national radio show dedicated to women's football, with me, Faye Carruthers, alongside Sheffield United forward Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly Hudson from The Times. Now then, we don't get to concentrate too much on the Women's Championship because there's always so much to get through on a Monday. So we're pausing the rest of the news to focus on the second tier of women's football, which at the moment is a fascinating tussle at the top and the bottom.
Wilkinson. What about that for a through ball? Pennock, 1-0 to Sheffield United. But the finish was good, but the through ball was something else. Woody leaves it for Morgan. Oh, it's a muddle between the defender and the goalkeeper. And in pops Katie Wilkinson, her sixth goal in the Championship this season. Lumsden. That is a match-winning save from the former Liverpool goalkeeper, Frank Kitchen. Crossing for Surrey. It's too deep. Harry Matthews. Durham stay top. They stay unbeaten. They've beaten second place Sheffield United in their own backyard. Sheffield United 0, Durham 1.
I'm so sorry, Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, for that being the main piece of audio that we used, your defeat to Durham. We'll talk about your win. You rectified it, 1-0 win over Charlton at the weekend. But let's talk Durham first of all. We have a fantastic friend of the show, Derek Purcell, who messages us without fail every single week saying, please talk about Durham. Well, Derek, your wish is our command. You are top of the table, 18 points, 8 games played. and they've just been phenomenal this season, haven't they, Courtney? You've played them most recently. What's so great about them this season?
You know what they've added massively to their game, and this is no disrespect to teams gone by. They've always been very, very difficult to beat. They've always been very physical, but maybe not so great on the ball as they are now. But that's what they've added to their game. They play through the thirds. They're very confident on the ball. Fantastic sort of technical ability in players like Beth Heppel and Emily Roberts. So, yeah, they've added that technicality to their game. And, they're so hard to beat, I think. If I'm correct, I think they're sort of hybrid full-time as well. So I think they're 4 days a week-ish. So again, I see adding that contact time is definitely added to how good they are on the ball now. Well, why still keeping that physicality and that defensive solidness that they have. So yeah, I can't say enough good words about them, unfortunately, at the moment.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've got a game in hand over you as well. You're just a point behind them in third place, that win taking you up to third against Charlton at the weekend. But Molly, they've got a really big fan base as well. 12,000 fans watched the live stream of their match against Aston Villa in the League Cup last week.
Yeah, I do think, you know, we laugh about kind of Durham and Derek always wanted us to talk about them. But you know what? We probably should talk about them more. We are probably underestimating them. And I would say that because you look at teams like Liverpool that have obviously dropped down into the division that are professional. Teams like Leicester City that have invested and gone professional. Actually, Durham, yes, they've built slowly. They've gone from part-time to this hybrid model, which Courtney kind of touched upon there. They've got really strong links with the university and they utilise that for them. They've become a kind of hub for women's football in the Northeast because it's in an area that has kind of been probably forgotten a little bit in terms of professional women's football. And they've utilised all of those things really well. And actually, when it comes down to this hugely competitive championship this season, if it comes down to, you know, those big games, as Courtney said, they're so difficult to play. And I think that is their strength when you come and play a Liverpool or a Leicester City. Out of any team in the Championship, Durham are probably the ones that you think that's going to be a really tough game. You know that you turn up there and it's going to be difficult. And I think definitely they're one of the favourites to maybe even get promoted this season.
Yeah, and this is where when you look at the Championship and how tight it is at the moment, you're thinking maybe the system's got to change to have two up and two down.
100%, I think that. And, you know, that's credit to the players, to the division, to the clubs that have built, you know, the clubs like Durham and Sheffield United who have slowly built and increased better players, attracted better players, you know, top managers. And I think now it probably is the time because when you get to the cup competitions, the FA Cup, the Continental Cup, you do actually see that these teams probably in the top half of the Championship. They're there or thereabouts when you come to play the bottom half of the Women's Super League. And that's always been the main thing. If you have two go up, will they be able to compete? And I think currently, yes, I think they can. And I think that has to be something that we look at going forward, increasing the Women's Super League. As much as some managers might not like the idea of that with more games to play, I think it is the future for the women's game.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that, Molly. Derek, I hope we've done Durham justice there, and I'm sure we'll try and get Lee Sanders on at some point soon as well. Leicester City just behind them, a point behind them, in fact, also with that game in hand over Sheffield United, a 9-1 win over Coventry last time out. And I was lucky enough to go up to Leicester, actually, and see how they've formed, because they've got such an interesting story. We talked about it on Women's Football Weekly a while ago. It's family run, and now they're under the umbrella of the King Power group, and training at the men's training ground with Leicester City, and under Jonathan Morgan, that they're doing great things at the moment, Courtney.
Yeah, definitely. I think sort of know the Morgans quite well myself, and you know, when the club sort of went down the leagues, they've rebuilt the club and made sure they've got it back to where it needs to be. And yeah, under the umbrella of the men's club, which I think is important going forward now for them. And they've done so well to get it to a place where it is obviously going full time. It's fantastic for Leicester in general to have a professional club, and I'm sure that they'll do really well. And, you know, whether it's this season they get promoted, hopefully it's us and not them. But, yeah, I think in the coming seasons, they've definitely starting with a fantastic foundation and will be in the WSL before long.
Yeah, they still have a chance of getting into the quarterfinals of the League Cup as well. They've still got to play Birmingham City, the last game in Group E there. And, of course, Durham as well have the opportunity to go up as second-best runners-up. We forgot to mention that, as do Crystal Palace. But still games to be completed in the League Cup. But let's talk Sheffield United under Neil Redfern, doing great things, really built under Carla Ward as well. I mean, I know that you played under Neil at Liverpool as well, Courtney, but what's he been able to do with Sheffield United since he's come in? I know you've only come in this season. What's been the difference there?
Yeah, I think obviously sort of when managers leave, it's always a difficult situation for a club. So I wasn't actually there at the time when he first come in, but, you know, spoke to the girls, and what he did is he sort of stopped the crisis mode, as it were, I suppose, and put everyone together and made sure that they felt they was in a good place. And he's good at that. He's sort of a feel-good manager. He makes people feel good, and obviously his coaching is quality as well. So he's installed that bit of confidence and belief. I think not that they didn't have that last season, but like I say, when you lose a manager, it's always hard. So yeah, he's instilled that belief in everyone. And, you know, despite us, you know, being part-time, we know that we can compete with the clubs that are either hybrid or full-time. And yeah, I think he's just such a positive man, I would say. He's, don't get me wrong, you don't want to get on the wrong side of him. And believe me, we've been on the end of a hairdryer recently. That wasn't the best. But, you know, he's brought everyone together, and he's given us the belief that we can compete with anyone on our day.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I love about the Championship. I mean, it's very much like the Men's Championship. I absolutely love that league because it's so tight, and it's exactly the same in the Women's Championship, because Liverpool, just 2 points behind, they've also got a game in hand. Sorry to keep rubbing that in. Vicky Jepson, obviously your former manager at Liverpool. It's well documented. When you first came on the show, we talked about Liverpool and what they need to do in order to try and bounce straight back into the WSL. How are they getting on under Vicky Jepson this season?
Yeah, they're doing well. I think, you know, most of the girls knew that how competitive the Championship was, and obviously it's been proven. I think, you know, some people from the outside might have expected Liverpool to walk the league because obviously they've come down from the WSL. They still stayed full time. But as you've said, I think one of the best things about the Championship is how competitive it is. And I think that's what the league needs. That's what the women's pyramid needs. And that's why obviously the WSL was inaugurated, to make sure that it wasn't the same teams winning every week. And we've seen that, especially this year with the WSL as well. It's been so competitive. And I agree with Molly. I think, you know, those top four teams, they can compete on any given day. And I think going forward, that's what the WSL really needs. It needs to be expanded. And like I say, you've got four teams there that could easily compete at that level, given, you know, everything's in the right place in terms of the finances and everything that WSL needs to, you know, to have a license to be in there. So yeah, it's exciting times for women's football pyramid, I think.
Yeah, it really, really is. And we'll talk a little bit further down the pyramid and what the money from the government actually means, the £3 million bailout. But just want to wrap up the table as it stands, because Blackburn are in fifth after that goalless draw with Liverpool. Gemma Donnelly's side, four games unbeaten now. Lewis as well in sixth on 11 points. They're strengthening as well, Simon Parker is. They've brought in midfielder Lucy Porter, who started her career at Villa as a kid and has been out in the USA. Crystal Palace then in seventh, and then tight at the bottom as well, London City Lionesses under interim head coach Melissa Phillips. They're on seven in eighth and play Coventry next, who are ninth. And then you've got London Bees and Charlton Athletic propping up the bottom. So it's tight at the top and the bottom. And I just want to discuss this £3 million government bailout for women's football. Really interesting discussion. The FA are going to talk about means testing that bailout to make sure it doesn't hand the cash over to the Premier League clubs, which is really important because, you know, all those sides, the nine of them in the WSL in particular that are linked with the men's clubs, can't have an unfair advantage when the cheques are handed out, Courtney.
Yeah, I think that's needed. The FA have done that right, I think, if they do it that way, because You know, we've talked about this before in terms of some of the, you know, the financial backing that some clubs have got compared to others. And I think, you know, with everything that's happened with the pandemic, it needs to be make it as a level playing field as possible. And I think the thing that sort of baffled me was the lack of funding, though, for further down in the national leagues, which I think, you know, they're probably suffering more than the top two leagues. And again, I think we really need to look after our pyramid to make sure that it progresses as a whole. But I think it's the right step forwards to means test it. And hopefully, you know, there aren't clubs in massive amounts of financial trouble, because, as you know, the women's football is on a massive trajectory at the minute, and it'd be a shame to lose everything that we've gained.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finally, Molly, the announcement today that up to 4,000 fans will be allowed back into stadia from next month. How much is that going to help clubs?
Yeah, it's hugely exciting. And I think, you know, particularly for women's fans, all we seem to do is talk about attendances in women's football. And, you know, there's been a huge rise in interest in the game. There's been lots of stars come over into the Women's Super League. The Championship, as we've discussed, is probably the most competitive it's ever been. So I think this is the time you really do want to attract people, to get bums on seats. And anything that kind of gets us one step closer to that is a massive positive.
Yeah, absolutely. You are listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, alongside Sheffield United forward Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly Hudson from The Times. If you miss any of the show, you can find our podcast by downloading the TalkSport app and searching for Women's Football Weekly. Next, we'll be getting to know Leicester City women's captain Holly Morgan. You're listening to Women's Football Weekly on TalkSport 2. I'm Faye Carruthers, and keeping you company with me is former Liverpool, now Sheffield United forward Courtney Sweetman-Kirk and Molly Hudson from The Times. Now then, loads of stories around the world of women's football this week. Let's kick off with FIFA stepping up protection of female players and coaches. So basically, new maternity cover regulations have been introduced aimed at protecting women footballers. The proposed regulations are going to need FIFA Council approval in December, though, but what it would mean is players would be entitled to a minimum of 14 weeks of maternity cover on at least two-thirds of their salary, and FIFA could potentially impose transfer bans on any clubs not meeting the new standards. What do you think of this then, Molly?
Firstly, I think it's a hugely positive step that FIFA have introduced this. I think it's something that has probably been more brought to light, you know, by the likes of Alex Morgan. And we've seen how important it is. You know, it's the same as in literally any other job. You would expect to be able to have maternity leave, and women's football should be no different. I think it's a first step, and it's an important first step, but there are kind of areas in it that are a little bit grey. For example, in the build-up to your pregnancy, if you're in the gym, does that still count as being in full training? Because you probably wouldn't be in full contact training, you know, a month or a couple of months before you give birth. So there are still grey areas. I think it could be a lot more. It could be a lot more comprehensive. We've seen with Morgan that, you know, it's difficult to come back when you've given birth. It's, you know, it's a long process when you're coming back to being a professional athlete. But I think the main thing is that FIFA have recognised that it was an area where they were really lacking, and at least they're making the steps to kind of correct that now.
Yeah, and it is a start, isn't it? What's also started is the Saudi Arabia Women's League, finally. It had to be postponed, of course, because of the coronavirus pandemic, but more than 600 players for 24 teams competing for a Championship Cup, which is great news out there. And then this one was a shocker. Seven-time European champions Lyon seeing their 80-game unbeaten streak ending. They fell to their first defeat in almost 4 years at the hands of PSG, Courtney.
Yeah, very, very interesting one. And I think, again, we talk about leagues, and I think what fans want to see is a competitive league. So I think that will do hopefully wonders for the French league and be a bit of a turning point, because, you know, years ago in the English league, when Arsenal used to win everything, it was fantastic for them. But, you know, for everyone else and for the fans watching, it probably wasn't overly interesting. So hopefully that will spark a bit of a change in the French league.
Yeah, it'd be really exciting to see their dominance perhaps be tested. Right then, every week this season, we pick a person, a club, organisation or an event from the world of women's football to shine our spotlight on. As we've been focusing on the Championship this week, we're going to shine our spotlight on Leicester City captain Jade Morgan.
I'm Holly Morgan and I am captain for Leicester City Women's Football Club. My style, I'm very simple. so probably sometimes will go unnoticed. I just like to do the simple things well and effective. And if I do that, then happy days, that's my job done. And as a defender, it's to keep the ball out of the back of the net. So whether we're in training or on a game day, I do not want that ball going in the back of the net. So you will always see passion and aggression and never die attitude. Beating Reading in the FA Cup, that was just a wonderful experience because we, you know, Reading, WSL one team, theoretically we weren't meant to beat them. If you're looking at, you know, leagues that we're in, they are full-time, we weren't full-time at that point. And it was just electric, that environment and that memory of beating them the way that we did was fantastic. And my second highlight would be when we won the league in 2015, the same league, the same year that Leicester actually won the Premier League. We won all of our games, 22 out of 22, and it was the final game against Wolves and it was 1-1, and in the last minute we scored to make it 2-1 to make it 22 out of 22 wins. And I'll never forget that game because it was just, it was a long season, and for us to be able to like come out with that achievement of winning all of our games in the way that we did, I won't forget that. Ooh, what do I love? You know what? I've been playing it for so long that sometimes I ask myself when it's a really cold evening or cold morning and I'm stood outside in the rain and I'm thinking like, why am I doing this? And I just think it's just the sport itself, there's so much to it in terms of, you know, I'm competitive so I want to win, but being around a team, and I love to coach as well, so it's just not even about playing, it's about learning the game and understanding it and then passing that knowledge on. I think it's just, as a sport, it's just all encompassing. You get so much from it that I can't really specify one thing. Something weird that they won't know about me. I don't know, you know. I think I can be quite boring. I play the piano. I really do enjoy that. So I guess that's a hobby that not many people know. I'm always watching football, so I enjoy watching different styles, different players, different characters. But if I had to pick one, I would probably say it would be Kante. Because I think sometimes I see, because he's so simple but effective, like he's aggressive on and off the ball, and I just think he's a very clever player. So when I watch him, he's just, there's so much to his game that he makes it look so simple that I just find watching him quite mesmerizing, to be honest.
That was Leicester City captain Holly Morgan talking to us, and she's not boring, Courtney, is she?
No, she's never been boring when I knew her. Maybe she's mellowed in her old age, but yeah, she's a really, really nice girl. And like I say, great family. So pleased for them and what they've achieved with Leicester and will continue to achieve.
And neither of you two have been boring. You've been great company this evening on Women's Football Weekly. Pleasure to have you with us as ever. Thanks to Courtney Sweetman-Kirk, Molly Hudson, Holly Morgan, Vivian Miedemar, and all of you as ever.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.